Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhaktivedanta ki, Granthraj Shima Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki, O Premanandi. That's what we discussed last week. Continue with Gopi Gita. Tonight we'll go from verses 10 to 19. We'll finish the chapter. Tonight we'll hear about the most exalted levels of love of God. It's called Mahabhava. Okay. Your smiles, your sweet loving glances, the intimate pastimes and confidential talks we enjoyed with you, all these are auspicious to meditate upon, and they touch our hearts. But at the same time, O deceiver, they very much agitate our minds. So this is the highest level of love of God. It is known as Mahabhava. Mahabhava means, it's prema, but it's the highest level of prema. So that's when Krishna and his associates, specifically the gopis, and specifically Radharani and her intimate associates, they experience the topmost level of emotion towards Krishna. So in order to understand these verses requires a deep state of meditation and contemplation. You can't understand these verses easily. They seem simplistic, and in one sense they are simplistic. They're very, very simple expressions of emotion between the devotee and Krishna, and Krishna and the devotee. So it's not easy to understand because it's not a small thing. The depth of the emotion is the secret in understanding the entire pastime. If you can understand how deep the emotion is that the gopis are feeling towards Krishna, then you, Brinda, just go outside if you're going to carry on. Right? Don't come in late for a start, and if you come in late, don't carry on. Okay? So, to understand this, you have to understand the depth of the emotion or the feeling which the gopis are feeling towards Krishna. Otherwise, you can't understand it. And materialistic people, they cannot understand it. Because they'll just see it as some ordinary expression of emotion between two people. But that's without understanding how deep the gopis love Krishna and how strong the love towards Krishna is and what the extent of the feelings are. So only when we understand that can we understand Krishna's mood towards the gopis and the gopis' mood towards Krishna. So it is called Mahabhava. Mahabhava means the most exalted levels of love of Godhead, which are so intense that the devotee feels that even when Krishna is not there, when they are separated from Krishna, in intense vipralamba. So what we're seeing here is vipralamba seva. Specifically, you see when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to experience this exact section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. These verses from the Gopi Gita were recited by Lord Chaitanya and his associates and meditated on and relished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So it is the topmost level of Krishna consciousness, an exchange between Krishna and the devotee. So it is called Vipralamba, and that is especially what Lord Chaitanya has come to experience, is the mood of separation that Krishna and his devotees are feeling between each other. So to relish that, because as we've discussed previously, when separation is there, the emotion goes to its highest level. The devotee does not desire separation. The devotee does not pray for separation. The devotee prays for union or sambhoga, to be with Krishna. The devotee never prays, Krishna, I want to be away from you. If you love someone, you always pray, I want to be with the person. But in order to intensify that feeling of love, then Krishna arranges that there is vipralamba or separation, or yoga maya on Krishna's behalf, arranges there is separation from Krishna. So the devotee and Krishna experience the highest level of love of God. So in that intense state of vipralamba, the devotee may feel that although Krishna is not physically with me at this point in time, I am with Krishna. They experience Krishna's direct association. That's what we heard previously when the gopis are experiencing unmada. Unmada means the madness they experience. When it gets to its highest level of experience, Krishna actually enters into their form and they completely identify as Krishna and experience his presence. So he is there. They directly associate with him. But simultaneously, they're not with him. And then we've also explained in the last few weeks that sometimes Krishna is with the gopis, he is physically manifest, but then instantaneously Radharani and the others, they may feel that Krishna is not with them, and then they completely submerge into vipralamba, even though they have sambhoga or association with Krishna. So these are the highest levels of Krishna prema. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to experience this, he was experiencing this with his associates. They would discuss these particular verses from the Gopi Gita and this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And all of their discussions were based upon the feelings of separation, which Krishna is feeling from the gopis and the gopis are feeling from Krishna. And actually, only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani and maybe Madhavendra Puri, very few people can actually understand and appreciate this fully. The rest of us can just understand it to some small degree, but we can't fully understand it or appreciate it, and we can't even understand it to a great degree at this point in time. And we can only understand it somewhat superficially. So we meditate upon it and we try to understand it, but we can't really relish it properly. So we have to by meditating upon it, then you'll understand the inner meaning of these conversations. Because it sounds simplistic when you read the verse, but the verse is not simplistic. It's a level of consciousness which we can't even contemplate at this point in time. So, any points?
I was trying to think about how they were feeling the other day, and Because whenever a person experiences loss, and I don't know how many people in here have had loss in their life, but if someone you really love dies, it's so painful and so difficult to bear, and you only love that person a millionth of what the gopis love Krishna. So I was thinking, how painful must this be for them? Like, we're reading it as if it's an exchange. The gopi said this, and Krishna said that, or, you know. But it must have been really painful. Is that why they went mad? Is that why they...
Yeah, because they're simultaneously experiencing many, many emotions simultaneously. So they're feeling union and bliss, but then simultaneously they're feeling separation in the next moment.
So when this song is sung, is it sung joyfully? Is it heard joyfully, or is it heard sadly?
Usually it's in separation, which means vipralamba. Yeah. But even when they chant certain verses like this one, they feel union with him. But then in the next moment, they drown back into the ocean of separation.
The feeling, and it's all the variances of it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's erratic. Any other points?
Is it a fear of losing, like when they separate, like would you ever meet again? Is it a fear of losing?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes it's an issue. Will they ever see him again? Sometimes they feel like that. Any other points?
That's how we mentioned in Jayden Mahaprabhu, the first chapter. It's without understanding the mood of Jayden Mahaprabhu and the associates of Mahaprabhu can not understand when the mood of Gopi. So one has to first understand Jayden Mahaprabhu's mood and to understand the mood of Gopi.
Anything else?
Just on that point, just reminded me of the song, the God Namito. So, with the Prema Rasa Seema, Jagata Jagata, okay, means who would have known the limit of the Prema Rasa to the extent with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually born this. Otherwise, we wouldn't have even touched the subject.
Who sang that song?
I don't know who sang, but. I can't recall the God Namito Kaviti but you don't know.
Yeah, there's a similar song by Vasudev Datta, Mukunda Datta. They also wrote songs like this. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur further elaborated upon.
Radha Prema Prema Rasa Seema Jagata Janata Ke. Means, you know, the extent of rasa, it's unimaginable. We can't even think about it. The world wouldn't have known about this if it wasn't for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, good. Anything else? Okay. Dear Master, dear lover, when you leave the cowherd village to herd the cows, our minds are disturbed with the thought that your feet, more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husks of grain and the rough grass and plants. So you may recognize these verses. These are famous verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada used to explain these verses and explain this section of the Bhagavatam. So the gopis are feeling that if Krishna goes out walking in the forest, because he always walks barefoot, so that is the nature of Vrindavan. That's the nice thing about going to the holy dham. When we go to the holy dham, we don't wear shoes. In the West, we have to wear shoes. There, you don't have to wear shoes. It's actually encouraged not to wear shoes. So we try as much as possible not to wear shoes when we're there. And that is the mood of Krishna. Lord Narayan, he wears chappal. He has shoes. Krishna does not wear shoes. In Dwarka, in Mathura, Krishna wears shoes. But in Vrindavan, he doesn't wear them.
Yeah.
Because He is enjoying the freedom of being a cowherd boy. And actually, in this conversation, which they have tonight, later on, they say to him, we want your association. Why are you going? And he more or less says to them, I will go wherever I want to go. I will do whatever I want to do. That is his mood. He just likes to enjoy unlimitedly. So he is not wearing shoes. The gopis, they're very pained. So why are they pained? Because that is the nature of someone who has prema or love will always be concerned about the other person. When you have prema or love, then you are concerned. You can't bear to see the other person suffering. Just like one time, a number of years ago, it was Prabhupada's disappearance day in Vrindavan. So some Prabhupada's god brothers came. Most of them have left the world now, but some of them came, and some other sannyasis came from Gaudiya Math, who knew Prabhupada, had association with Prabhupada. So they came. And one sannyasi, he was speaking. And he was saying, he was speaking about very high things, like this, like pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, and how Prabhupada may have been in that mood of between Krishna and the gopis. It was very high katha. So then the next sannyasi came and spoke, and he was Prabhupada's godbrother. He was more senior. And he was Puri Maharaj, who was associate of Prabhupada. He had association with Srila Prabhupada. And then he came, and when he spoke next, he said, what is all this talk about Krishna and the gopis? He said, you don't even understand what is love. And you're talking gopi, gopi. You want, and he said, that is the problem with all you Western people. You want to go straight to the highest thing, but you don't even understand what is love. You don't even understand what is selflessness. And until you understand what is selflessness, you can't understand Krishna and the gopis, the pastime between Krishna and his associates. And he gave the example. He said there was one mother, and her son was 40 years old. And every day, she would feed him by spoon in his mouth. So he was explained, that is love. So much love, every day she would feed him by spoon in the mouth. Every day for 40 years. He's 40 years old now, and still she feeds him. So he said, that is love. He said, you want to understand gopis and all these things, but you don't even understand what is love. You don't even know how to act with love in this world. If you can't act with love in this world, how will you act with love in the spiritual world? If you can't learn to serve Krishna's devotees and love Krishna's devotees and render service to them selflessly, how will you ever render service to Radha and Krishna? We want to talk about Radha and Krishna. We want to hear about Radha and Krishna. We want to worship Radha and Krishna. But then you can't even treat Radha and Krishna's devotees properly in this world. You're more worried about yourself than the devotees. So if you have that consciousness, how will you understand Krishna? So what do we learn here from the gopis? They're so soft-hearted. And we've discussed this. Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nature of bhakti is that the devotee becomes very soft-hearted. And if you're not soft-hearted, how will you understand Krishna? If you're always worried about yourself, how will you understand Krishna? You can't. You just stay in this world. You can keep being born as a devotee, but you won't understand Krishna. Krishna is only understood by a certain type of devotion. Rupa Goswami says it's Uttama Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, Amala Bhakti. It means pure devotion. What is pure devotion? It means there is no other motive than just to give Krishna pleasure. So that is the mood which we have to enter. So what we're learning here from the gopis is their soft-hearted nature. They can't bear to think that Krishna, who walks barefoot all day, might hurt his foot. We don't think like that. We don't have that kind of love or concern for Krishna. So therefore we cannot understand Krishna. You only understand Krishna when you have the right service attitude. And Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, I think it's in the introduction, it's before the verses even start. Prabhupada says, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the performer. So our attitude in devotional service, that is how much we advance. Who's the most advanced devotee in our movement? Who are the most advanced devotees in ISKCON? The devotees who have the right service attitude. Pankajangri Prabhu, Janani Vas Prabhu, Radhanana Swami, so many personalities. You see, the attitude of service. Right? That is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. When you have that attitude. If you don't have the attitude, how do you advance? Right? So the gopis, they have the perfect service attitude. They're concerned about Krishna. We're more concerned about ourselves. You know, like I was saying, I think last week, either in the morning or in the evening class, you know, they have the 7 o'clock offering here, 7 o'clock, you know, before class starts. And I see the devotees go in there, it's not a very good attitude. I don't even think it's very Krishna conscious. And devotees go in there and everyone's like grabbing it. Like it's, I went in there the other night because I hardly ever go there to take prasad. You know, I don't usually eat at that time, but I was upstairs, I was fasting all day. And I was preparing class and I couldn't concentrate anymore. And I thought, well, I have to eat something. But the only thing there was something. So I went down to get something. But it was like a pack of sharks. And it's not Krishna conscious, because that's not the mood of the devotees. Devotees don't think like that. Devotees, they take prasad, they offer it to the other devotee. Right? But it's like everyone was like fighting each other and jumping over each other. Now, what is that? So how do you advance? Can you imagine the gopis doing like that? All the gopis like jumping. You know, if they got some remnant from Krishna, what do they do when they get the remnants of Krishna? They break it, they divide it, and they start giving it to all the other devotees. If you want to understand the mood of service somewhat in this world, you go to the Radha Govinda Mandira in Jayapur. And you'll see when someone gets, because here in ISKCON, we get like, prasad means a plate. Right? You go to Radha Govinda Mandir, you get a morsel. You're like this much. But then you'll see the devotees, when they get the prasad, they go around the corner, you know, not in front of the deities, around the corner, and they start breaking it and giving it to everyone else. And then the last little piece, they take themselves. That's Krishna consciousness. Right? Because it means the attitude is selfless. So if you don't have the right attitude, how will you understand Krishna? So you can only understand this intimate part of the Bhagavatam when your service attitude is correct. If you don't have the right service attitude, it's all theory. You can read it, you know, you can relish it, but you won't understand any of it. And where's the place where you'll understand Krishna the most? Where is Krishna most intimately revealed? Right? In the creation? It's at Radhakund. Right? And then Radhakund is my favorite place. But sometimes I go to Radhakund, and as soon as I get there, right, then Krishna just shows all the dirty things that are in my heart. He says, you want to come here? You think you want to serve me? But what about all of these things? You've not dealt with that yet. So then, go away. You're not qualified to be here. Mm-hmm. That is Lord Shiva's position. Lord Shiva, he is the Kshetrapal. He is the protector. So if you still have false ego, and you still think you're better than others, if you still want to enjoy Krishna's energy, separate from Krishna, then Krishna will push you away. You can't get to Krishna. You come to the temple, but then you want to use the temple's facility. Krishna will push you away. You don't have the right service attitude. A devotee wants to serve Krishna. He doesn't want to enjoy. Even one time a devotee left ISKCON, and then they told Prabhupada he's left. And Prabhupada said, it appeared he came here to take. Because the whole mood of when you come to ISKCON, you're not meant to take, you're meant to serve, give. But if you come to ISKCON, I just want to take, then you can't understand Krishna. So, any points?
I heard one lecture that
one's devotee left Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada said he left because of us, because we did not take care of him properly, that's why he left. So Prabhupada was teaching the Vaishnava serving attitude as well. We should serve Vaishnava in such a way, and we should make them feel that they are welcome in Krishna consciousness, they are loved. They are loved in Krishna consciousness. If we make them feel, then they will stay in Krishna consciousness.
Any other points?
I have heard that Lord Narayan walks a bit higher than the surface of the earth. He doesn't touch the ground. Is that right?
Maybe. It says that Krishna's footprints are there. When Krishna walks, his footprints are there.
Krishna always walks.
Krishna always walks. I have no idea.
Because when we were reading about Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, you have to see if there's any pastimes where Narayan comes to earth. We have to see.
In Krishna Maharaj, he came and he stood there and he put his foot on the floor.
I think this verse, because they're thinking about Krishna the way a mother thinks about a son, it shows us that they don't just love him as he's their lover. They love him in all the forms you can love Krishna, as a mother, as a friend. They encompass everything in terms of love. That's why they're so perfect.
Any other points?
Prabhuji, you said that mother feeding the son who is 40 years old, isn't that a material attachment? In Gita, Lord says to give us a material attachment, put that attachment in me.
Yeah, so if you think about Krishna like that, that's the point.
Yeah, but
that's not the point. That means you missed the whole point. The point is that she was selfless in her love. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, the closest thing to spiritual love is the mother's love for the child. So we're learning the principle of selflessness. That's the point that we're trying to understand.
Okay.
Any other points? At the end of the day, you repeatedly show us your lotus face. Covered with dark blue locks of hair and thickly powdered with dust. Thus, O hero, you arouse lusty desires in our minds. So once again, the verse may seem very simple. It may seem quite ordinary in some ways. We're just hearing about a boy coming back after a day with his cows. His body is covered with dust. We may think, well, what is significant about this? What is special about this? Well, unless you have Vasudev Katha Ruchi, or taste, for hearing about topics related to Krishna, you won't be attracted to this, or enthralled by it, or enraptured by the description. The one who is Krishna conscious, then he will have a Ruchi or a taste, and he is attracted to the details of the verse. So we hear that Krishna, here the gopis are meditating on him in a particular way. Their calm is transcendental. It is called Kama Rupa. Kama Rupa means the form of calm. But it is not the calm we find in this world. It is the Adiras, it is the original calm. And we are meant to become Kama Nuga devotees, which means we're meant to follow in the footsteps of the gopis' calm or their lust. In other words, the way they see Krishna. But the only way you can develop transcendental calm or transcendental lust is if you give up material lust. As long as material lust is there, you can't understand this lust, this desire to see Krishna. So the gopis, they see him in a very particular way because he is their lover. So therefore, when they see him coming, they meditate on him in a very particular way. And he arouses attraction within the hearts of the gopis. Because he has that same intense transcendental lust within his consciousness. So then he looks at them in a particular way to stimulate or arouse their transcendental love for him or lust for him. So the entire thing is once again in this transcendental. It cannot be seen in a mundane way. And that is the problem, because most people see it in a mundane way. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not discuss this publicly. Srila Prabhupada would not discuss this publicly. This is not for public discussion. Devotees here means they're committed. Devotees are studying this seriously. The mood is correct. Therefore, it can be discussed, but even still it must be discussed very carefully. Whereas, you can't speak about these things in the Sunday feast lecture. It's not appropriate, because these people will not understand these things. They'll misconstrue Krishna. Any points? Your lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lord Brahma, fulfill the desires of all who bow down to them. They are the ornament of the earth, they give the highest satisfaction, and in times of danger, they are the appropriate object of meditation. O lover, O destroyer of anxiety, please put those lotus feet upon our breasts. So once again, these are famous verses. These have been discussed. I mean, Prabhupada used to discuss these points. How the gopis could not tolerate anything piercing or giving pain to Krishna's feet. He would also discuss how the gopis would desire to hold Krishna's feet upon their breasts. So all these verses are very famous section of the Bhagavatam, the Gopi Gita. But once again, what is the motivation? Why do the gopis want to hold Krishna's feet upon their breasts? Because the gopis are feeling that will give him pleasure. So once again, it's nothing to do with their pleasure. That's the problem in this world. Everyone just thinks about their own pleasure. Boys want to touch girls. Girls want to touch boys. That is for our pleasure. It is selfish. It is atmendriya priti. The definition of kama is when it is for the pleasure of your senses. Definition of love in Chaitanya Charitamrita is krishnendriya priti. It is when you desire to give pleasure to Krishna's senses. So the gopis, they know that if they take Krishna's feet and carefully place his feet upon their breasts, it will give him pleasure. So therefore, the motivation is only to please him. So therefore, it is transcendental desire. Even though people will misconstrue and they'll say, oh, it's mundane, but it's not mundane. Because the motivation is different. Just like on the weekend at the farm, so we had a vegan cooking retreat. So we had 10 non-devotees. Some of them are chanting Hare Krishna now, every day. We're making devotees, that's nice. Western people. One lady, Chan, said, she told me, she listens to kirtan. She said, last thing I do every day as I go to sleep, I'm listening to kirtan. She hasn't even associated with devotees very much. But these people are becoming Krishna conscious. So they came to our retreat for the week, and we taught them, we call it vegan cooking retreat. We don't care about vegan cooking. What do we care about vegan cooking? Yeah, it's just a smoke screen, just a trick them. You come here. So then we say a vegan cooking. Really, it's Hare Krishna retreat. Each day we do kirtan with them, 3 times a day for 10 minutes. So it means they've done half an hour of kirtan on the Saturday. And then we had satsang in the evening. They just asked questions for 1 hour, about spiritual things. I said, okay, no more vegan cooking. And no more recipes. Ask questions about life, spiritual life. And they ask very nice questions. So I walked into the kitchen at one point. Nitai Premananda Prabhu was teaching. He was the chef. He was teaching them how to cook. So I walked in. One of the ladies, she's not a devotee, she said, I walked in. I said, how long will it be till it's ready? I'm thinking, to keep everything on schedule. And she said, "Oh, you're hungry, are you?" And I, first thing I thought in my head is that I'm not even thinking about, Krishna hasn't eaten yet. So why am I thinking about if I'm hungry? They said, "Oh, you're hungry, are you? You're asking, what is it ready? What time will it be ready?" And I said, "Yes, yes, I'm asking, you know, I'm hungry." I told her like that. But actually, for a devotee, we don't think like that. We don't walk into the kitchen, we don't think, oh. Even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you want to understand pure bhakti, then you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? So the pastime of Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri, he went to Chiachal Gopinath. He was on his way to Puri, Jagannath Puri. So he got to Chiachal Gopinath, and the deity stole one pot of sweet rice. So the pujari, the deity said, "Take this pot of sweet rice and give it to Madhavendra Puri." So he took the pot of sweet rice and he walked outside, middle of the night. He said, "Madhavendra Puri, where are you?" And then he came and he said, "You called me?" He said, "The deity, Gopinath, has kept this for you." So he was amazed. So the reason the deity kept the sweet rice, because Madhavendra Puri was thinking, "I wonder what this sweet rice, I wonder what the ingredients are. So then I can cook this for my deity of Gopal back at Govardhan Hill." But then he thought, "This hasn't even been offered to the deity yet. So I should not be thinking like this." He chastised himself. So sometimes you hear the devotees, someone's cooking an offering for Krishna. I hear, even in the kitchen sometimes I hear devotees, "Oh, what are you cooking?" Or, you know, some nights you know there's going to be pizza at 7 o'clock. Right? And devotees, they become like I said, like sharks. Right? And then at 6:30 everyone's starting to say, "Oh, you're going to have some pizza at 7 o'clock? And I say to devotees, Krishna hasn't even eaten yet. Mm-hmm. Who cares whether you get pizza or not? The only thing you should be thinking about is whether Krishna gets it. Is it hot when he gets it? Right? How is it presented to him? Right? Idam Krishnaya, idam namama. This is for Krishna, it's not for me." If we're in this consciousness, I'm cooking, and you see, even people cook for the deities, but they're thinking in their mind, "I will enjoy it." That's not the right consciousness. Right? Madhavendra Puri, he was thinking, "What does it?" And then he chastised himself. That is the consciousness of the devotee. So the gopis are thinking, "We'll put our Krishna's feet on our breasts, not for them." They're thinking for Krishna's pleasure. So until we understand all these, this type of consciousness of selfless devotional service, we can't understand any of this. There's no point reading it. You can read it, but you don't understand anything. Right? When you're selfless, you'll understand everything. So it's the attitude which is important. That's all we have to take from the gopis first. And one time I was with my Guru Maharaj in France. He was giving class. And he looked at me. All the devotees sitting, he looked at me. And he said, "What is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan?" He just looked at me. And I said, "They only want Krishna to be happy." And he said, "That's the right answer. They only want Krishna to be happy. If Krishna is happy, they're happy. If Krishna is not happy, nothing means anything." So if we're always thinking, "Oh, I want the pizza, or I want this, I want that," that's not bhakti. We just should just think, "What does Krishna want?" And then if we get some prasad, that's nice. Maybe Krishna won't give you pizza. Maybe he'll give you mashed potato. We should do that one night, you know. When they all turn up at 7 o'clock, we'll just have a big bowl of mashed potato waiting. We'll hide all the pizza. Right? And watch the... But Prabhu, it's offered to Krishna. "Oh, but I'm not interested in it. It has to have cheese on it." So it's not, you're not interested in Krishna, you're interested in cheese. You know, if you want cheese, we'll just go and buy you a block of cheese. And you'll get it. Here's your cheese. Take it. It's not the right, the attitude is not correct. The mood of the devotee, you always serve the other Vaishnavas. That's the mood. If you're thinking all the time just for your own sense gratification, that's not bhakti. So, yes.
So the question is, how do we train ourselves to go from where we are to where we want to go?
Serve the devotees.
Maybe steps in between.
Serve the devotees.
And it will come.
What do you think? Serve the devotees. Think to yourself, what did I do today for the devotees? What service did I do for the devotees? Any other points?
I have seen personally, Rasnandini has got this feeling. Rasnandini, always serving everybody. She doesn't think about herself at all. Cleaning, everything she is doing. Selfless.
Any other point?
Many devotees, many people who are coming here, materialistic people, they do not know Krishna Prabhupada, but through prasadam they are eating the prasadam. I saw that they are very eagerly eating the prasadam. The people who are coming, they don't even know Krishna. They don't know anything, but they eat the prasadam. So through that they get the ajnana sukhati. They do masi through the prasadam.
Yeah, that's okay, because they're new people.
Yeah, new people.
New people, that's okay.
Yeah.
No problem. I'm talking about people who've been coming here for years. Yeah, they go in there and it's just, the mood's not right.
And the mood of Shrimurti is same. Shrimurti, mood is same.
So look at this. It says, that Krishna's feet, in times of danger, are the appropriate object of meditation. So, when we're scared or when we're in danger, that's what we should be meditating on, Krishna's feet?
Yeah.
See, the gopis are so humble that they used to say...
Any part of Krishna, it doesn't just have to be his feet.
Because I read a verse, sorry Prabhupada, because I read a verse last night, a few verses before, because I was just going over the chapter. And it says that it describes the markings on Krishna's feet. And it says there's one marking that if you that gives Krishna's feet the ability to make his devotees who meditate on his feet love him more. I think, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
So just, there's something special there.
Yeah, obviously it's Krishna's, Krishna's
very
feet.
Special.
Yeah, so the point is just meditate on Krishna. Anything about Krishna. His eyes, his smile, his peacock feather, his flute, his shark-shaped earrings, his Kasturba gem. Anything about Krishna. Or his lotus feet, doesn't matter. Anything. Any other points?
Yeah, I was just saying that.
Oh! What do you want?
That,
sit over here.
Gopis are so humble that even they were thinking that even their breasts are too hard for his feet.
Yeah, that comes up in the next few verses.
Okay.
Did she tell you what this class is about?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as you're ready.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. O hero, kindly distribute to us the nectar of your lips, which enhances conjugal pleasure and vanquishes grief. That nectar is thoroughly relished by your vibrating flute and makes people forget any other attachment. So once again, what is the mood of the gopis? No, it's completely selfless. And it's called karma rupa. It appears to be like lust. They're meditating on Krishna, that they want to kiss his lips. But there is no selfish desire. Their thought is that Krishna wants to kiss our lips. We know that will give him pleasure. So therefore, please, They want to meditate, please Krishna, kiss our lips, because that will give you pleasure. So they're completely selfless. The verse says that when people in this material world hear the sound of Krishna's flute, it destroys all material attachment. And you'll see the gopis themselves, what happened? When they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, it destroyed every other attachment they had. And they immediately just ran to Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada, as we've explained in the last few classes, Prabhupada explains that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Anchalila, when Krishna plays his flute in the spiritual world, it manifests, when that sound penetrates the material world, the material coverings, and enters the material world, it enters as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So when people meditate on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is the sound of Krishna's flute. And what does it do? It destroys our attachment to the material energy. That's why we have all these kirtan melas, just like they had up in Moolambah last week. Oh, you were there, right? Yeah. What was it called?
Sacred
Sound Retreat. Yeah. So Indradumna Swami came, right? The general of the Sankirtan movement. Pretty much in our movement, Indradumna Swami is seen as the head kirtan leela, the main general who spreads. Did you go?
No.
You were not there. No. The main general who spreads the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. When the Panchatattva were installed in Mayapur, the large deities, at the Gaura Aarti, all the leaders were there, but they asked Indradumna Swami to lead the first Sanja Aarti for the Panchatattva. And even I've seen at the holy name retreats in Vrindavan with Burujumper and Sachinanda Swami, when Indradumna Swami comes, they say, please speak to us about your realizations about the holy name. He's probably more than anyone else, he's spread the holy name all over the world. Because that sound, when you hear that sound, it destroys your material attachment. Because the sound is non-different from Krishna's flute, it is spiritual. So the point is, as we were just saying, anything that you meditate on Krishna, so the gopis are meditating on his lips, the gopis are meditating on his eyes, the gopis are meditating on his flute sound, the gopis are meditating on
his feet.
Right? They're meditating on all his feet. Anything that you meditate upon Krishna, it would destroy your material attachments. So therefore, the whole purport of the Bhagavatam is fix your mind on Krishna. Krishna says, Mamana Bhava Mad Bhakto, fix your mind on me. That's his instruction, his order in the Gita is fix your mind on me. Always think of me, never forget me. Because when you fix your mind on Krishna, everything else becomes destroyed. So the only purpose of our life is to fix our mind on Krishna. Right. And the way to do it, the principal way to do it in this day and age, is to absorb yourself in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because when you do that, your material desires get destroyed. Now, that's why your family tell you, don't chant the mantra. You can do that when you're older. Don't chant. When you're old, you can chant. Religion is for old people. Right? Then you can chant. Don't chant now, because they know if you start chanting, you're going to do something strange. You're going to shave your head and you're going to do all sorts of things. Right? Because your attachments, they disappear. So here the gopis, they're saying that we're attached to your lips. By meditating on your lips, all other attachments are destroyed. Because what comes from your lips? The sound of the flute. And actually, they're envious of the flute. Why we can't be flutes? If we're flutes, we can touch your lips all day long. Because we're gopis, we can't touch your lips. Everyone will criticize us. So they're envious of the flute. That is the level of their bhakti or devotion. Any points? When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish Creator. Who are they talking to? Lord Brahma. What happens if we talk to Lord Brahma like that? We can't. So this shows how advanced they are. These are the most advanced devotees in the universe. Right? You read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a commentary or explanation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you read through, it goes through all the different devotees in the creation. Right? It goes to Brahma. Brahma says, no, no, I'm not the best devotee. You go to Shiva. Shiva says, I'm not the best. You go to Prahlad. Prahlad says, I'm not the best. You go to Hanuman. Hanuman says, you go to the Pandavas. The Pandavas say, you go to Dwarka. Dwarka Basi say, you go to Vrindavan. Well, first you go to Uddhava. Uddhava says, you go to Vrindavan. You get to Vrindavan, everyone says, the gopis. And then amongst the gopis, everyone says, Radha Rani. So that is the hierarchy. So the gopis are so powerful. Even though they appear just to be like cowherd girls, so powerful. They say, who is this foolish creator? He's created eyelids. If he had a brain in his head, why would someone create an eyelid that blinks? So a fraction of a second we can't see Krishna. Who is this person? Right? And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says they pray that their eyelids will dissolve. Or they even pray that they will cut away their eyelids. That's how intense they are in their devotion to Krishna. Better we just cut them off, then we can just look at him. Who created eyelids? So this is the level of their devotion. We can't even understand what this means. Dear Achyutya, you know very well why we have come here. Who but a cheater like you would abandon young women who come to see him in the middle of the night, enchanted by the loud song of his flute? Just to see you, we have completely rejected our husbands, children, ancestors, brothers, and other relatives. So what have the gopis done to attain Krishna? They gave up everything. Huh? What do we call someone in this world when they give up everything? Sannyas. So basically, what are the gopis teaching us? If you want to attain Krishna, you have to give up everything in this world. Just like we had the vegan cooking retreat on the weekend. So, you know, these non-devotees came. And some of them are becoming devotees very quickly. And one of them, she's 50 years old. Yeah. And very nice lady, a naturopath. So she's becoming very interested in Krishna consciousness. So she's speaking to me, we're having breakfast, talking. And she has leukemia, cancer. So, you know, when you have something like that, you get realizations. And I said to her, actually, it's a good thing because it's making you come closer to Krishna. And she said, yes, I see it like that. And she said, I'm going to sell my house. I said, why are you doing that? She says, because it's just a burden for me. I don't need it. See, I've got a big house and everything, and you know, we've made lots of money and everything, but now it's all just a burden. I want to simplify it all. And I said, actually, in our teachings, it says when you get to 50, you go and live in the forest. And I pointed out the window to the forest. I said, you go and live in the forest. And I said, because at the age of 50, you were meant to simplify things. You don't want to make your life more materially complicated. You want to make your life more simple. You can't attain Krishna as long as you have material desires and attachments and possessions. So the gopis teach us perfect Krishna consciousness. If you want to attain Krishna, you have to give up everything. What does give up everything mean? It means you have to use everything that you possess in the service of Krishna. How does it go? Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. Everything that you have, you have to use it for Krishna. That is Yukta Vairagya. If you do that, you can attain Krishna. So the gopis, they used everything they have in Krishna's service. Because they know they have beauty, good qualities, devotion, artistic talents. They use all of that in Krishna's service. And therefore they give Krishna unlimited satisfaction. Any points? Our minds are repeatedly bewildered as we think of the intimate conversations we had with you in secret. Feel the rise of lust in our hearts and remember your smiling face, your loving glances and your broad chest, the resting place of the goddess of fortune. Thus we experience the most severe hankering for you. So in this verse, it says that Krishna has conquered the gopis in five ways. Because what is Krishna's name? What does it mean?
All attractive.
I mean someone who can attract everyone. Right? The word Krishna comes from the word Karshna. Karshna means like to forcibly take. So Krishna conquers the gopis. Right. And here it describes in five ways. He shoots 5 arrows at them. What happens if someone shoots 5 arrows at you?
Yes.
Yeah, you're in a lot of trouble. So Krishna does this. Right. He doesn't just shoot 1 arrow at them, he shoots 5 arrows. He puts them in a lot of trouble. He gets it, he just grabs them. Come here. I'm in the forest. All of you now, come. I want to dance. Come. So he calls them. But how does he get them? Right, 5 ways. First way. We think of the intimate conversations we had with you in secret. So how does he capture them? By his words.
Sweet.
Yeah. And actually it says the most effective way to capture another person's heart is by sweet words. If you speak very sweetly to someone, you capture their heart. So Krishna, he speaks very sweetly to the gopis and he grabs them, controls them. Secondly, we feel the rise of lust in our hearts and remember your smiling face. So what is the second way that he captures them? He smiles at them. When someone smiles at you, what does it do?
You have to smile.
Automatically. Captures you. Yeah. You automatically feel attracted. You go somewhere and someone smiles at you, you think, oh, this is a nice place. Very important, actually. When people first come to Krishna, you have to smile. Even if you don't feel like it, do it. It's your service, actually. It's your service. It actually says there are 6 Vaishnava aparads, 6 offenses. And one of the offenses is actually mentioned by Jiva Goswami. If you see a devotee and you don't smile, it's actually an aparad. So you haven't seen a devotee for a long time, and a devotee walks in, you just go. It does make them feel very good. So that's actually, Krishna captures the devotees by smiling. So, his words, his smile, and then his glance. He looks at them. sidelong glance, just by the way he looks at him. If someone looks at you with affection, with love, they capture your heart. I remember my guru did that to me many times. He would just look at me in a particular way and just my heart just... Other times he'd look at me in a different way. That also endears the devotee. It's the sweet way. That's the way they capture the heart. And then?
Broad chest.
His broad chest. Which is the way that he captures the devotees. Because what does it mean? It means he embraces them. Holds them to his chest. If you embrace someone, you capture them. You hold them to your chest. Then they feel secure, loved. So that's four. So I missed one. Because there should be five there. It might be. Feel the rosiness. That's the remembering your smiling face. Your loving glances, your broad chest. The severe hankering for you. Yeah, there's one more in there, but I can't see it right now. The Vishnachakravartaka. You can read in Vishnachakravartaka's commentary. There's five. I can only see four. Krishna's hiding one of them. Mm-hmm. But there's another one there. You can look in your own time.
Is it the goddess of fortune?
I'm not sure. It's not that. We'll find it, but I'll have to look at the book again. Oh, beloved, your all-auspicious appearance vanquishes the distress of those living in Braj's forests. Our minds long for your association. Please give to us just a bit of that medicine which counteracts the disease in your devotees' hearts. So, in the purport, the Acharyas point out, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is like the difference between iron and gold. Both are metals. One is valuable, one is not very valuable. If someone gets iron, they don't become excited. If someone gets gold, they become very excited. So love for Krishna is like gold, lust is like iron. So the gopis, they are showing us gold, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says has been purified in 1,000 fires. Their love is so pure towards Krishna. Right? There's nothing impure in the gopis' love. Is completely selfless. 1,000 times it has been purified. And if we want to reach Krishna, we have to go through 1,000 fires. We have to be purified. Krishna will purify us. And when we come out of the fire, we think, that was intense. And Krishna says, okay, now we'll do it again. But this time it'll be more intense. And he'll take you through again and again. Does anyone relate to what I'm speaking about here? Yeah. How many fires have you been through so far?
No.
Right. It's 1,000. We have to go through 1,000. I feel like I'm on about number 47. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and think, oh God, what's he going to do next? But I know the next one's coming. The next one's going to be more intense than the last one. But that's what he does. Each fire is more intense than the previous one, to burn you more. All the false ego, all the impurities to go away. Okay, final verse. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds therefore are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. Hmm. So the gopis, they only live for Krishna. They have no concern for themselves. They're not thinking about their own unhappiness. They only think Krishna is out there. He has no shoes. He's walking. And actually, if you read the commentary by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, it's very beautiful, very interesting. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says the gopis are speaking to their minds. They have a conversation in their minds, and it's very esoteric. The gopis are speaking to their minds. So the mind is saying, he's not even going to walk off the path. He won't walk off the path. He won't hurt his feet. And then the gopis say to their mind, no, 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 he will go off, and then even if he just touches one little thorn, it will give him so much pain. So they're just completely absorbed in Krishna. So they're teaching us what prema means, what love means. And until we understand love, prema, we can't understand Krishna. So they're feeling distress in the intimacy of their mahabhava, or their love for Krishna. They feel distressed, and we should also feel distressed. We should feel anxious. Is Krishna happy? We should feel that it matters to us whether Krishna is happy. Who cares whether we get the pizza? That's not important. What is important is, did Krishna get the pizza? Was the pizza on time? Was it hot? Did he get enough pizza pieces? Was it served nicely? Were all the preparations in the correct order on the plate? Was there enough variety? All these things, we have to think all these. So that is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means it doesn't matter what I think, only what Krishna's pleasure is. Idam Krishnaya, idam na mama. This is not for me, it is for Krishna. So the gopis are showing us the most perfect example of that. Srila Prabhupada ki? So tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 32. What is chapter 32 called?
The reunion.
The reunion. Okay. So there's one book by Shivaram Swami. It is called? Na Paraye Hum. From God.
Because I've asked it,
they can't get them quickly. They can't get them, but it's hard to get them. Some of them are out of print.
You can get the ebook.
Yeah. A lot of these books are online on ebooks. So there's one book called Na Paraye Hum, which is based on this next chapter. Chapter 32. So if you have time, you can read that while we're studying the chapter. There's also a book called Prema Samput by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, and that's also based on this chapter. Prema Samput. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur. I'll have to have a look. Just look it up, it'll come up. Yeah, Prema Samput. So there, if you can read those books, it will help you also. So please keep up with your fees for the course. Tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 32. Hare Krishna.